Welcome back to Monday Morning Centre Back. It's been a little while. It's good to see you, Dre.
Great to see you. You're somewhere tropical again.
I am somewhere tropical. I am in Rome right now. I'm working though. It's not holiday. I'm out here working, doing my thing. So
I can't keep up with you. I legitimately try to go around the world, making sure that I keep up with any thinking. Yeah, well, I'm doing well in life, and then I get, jump on the call. I'm like, nah, that's not London. That is somewhere else.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky to travel with work, to be fair. But yeah, so it's nice to be back on Monday Morning Centre Back, where obviously we come together on a Monday and review all the weekend's actions with a perspective of a centre back. I'm excited to get into this one with you, Dre. It's a new season. Obviously, we're not too far deep into the season.
Yep.
And obviously, as always, we're going to start with some self-indulgence. Can we start with your team first? That's better news.
No. I'm going to be a gentleman. Allow me to let you talk about your team.
Oh, God. You're
going to
be a gentleman, yeah? So be nice then. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm now thinking back to like the episodes that we did before the season where I was getting gassed about Pochettino. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is not good. So Chelsea are currently 14th. Drew against Bournemouth yesterday, 0-0. Got booed off. And honestly, Dre, I just feel like we're still in the wilderness. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's not really getting better. Like, Pochettino hasn't had a great start. And I'm just kind of like, where are we going? Like, what's happening? You know, obviously, Sterling's had a good start. 2 goals in 5 games, but didn't get picked for England, which was thought was really weird. We'll get onto that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, we're still in the wilderness. Like, this doesn't feel like the Chelsea. We're getting back to the Chelsea that we all know. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. Well, yeah, I'm currently looking at the table and you are way down.
Way down. 14th. It's not. It's
like
just
way
it's
down. You know what? So we say 14th, and I'm not rubbing it in. I'm not. Right. But when you say 14th, you're like, oh, okay. When you look how far back you are, you and United are in the mud.
I mean, it's early days, obviously, but one of the things we needed off the back of a terrible season last season was a really good start, like for momentum, new manager, a lot of new players, start well. And it's just not started well. And I just wonder how, like, not how, when we're going to kickstart the season and kickstart this new era under Pochettino, because, like, yeah, it's just, I just don't, you know, Nicholas Jackson doesn't really look like, I mean, he's all right. It's a good player, works hard. But where are we going to get a goal from? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
from what I see here,
the fans don't have any patience. Fans are losing patience.
Fans are used to success. Yeah. And I said to you lot before that you're going to have to be patient with a rebuild. But the problem is that whose identity is his team? Because Poch just seems like a placeholder. Is Poch just happy to have a coaching position? And the deal is that, you know, Todd, your chairman, can just bring in whoever he wants to at a whim, because there doesn't seem to be any cohesiveness.
There's
no ideology. And don't get me wrong, like, you know, we're Liverpool fans. We can actually tell when it's like not a typical Klopp signing, because that person stays on that bench for a while. The problem is that you've bought, and where's like a trigger to me, I mean, we got away with this, luckily, is that when you bought Caicedo, and that was a very good buy, very good signing, but then you automatically bought Lavia after, who plays in the same position, for what? Like, it makes no sense. Like, it literally makes no sense.
I think it's just a continuation of last season. It's just like buying for buying's sake without any real strategic reasons. And I think you're right. I think Pochettino's come into a club that I think any manager would have to be in that situation where basically the owners make the transfer decisions and the coach coaches. I mean, I'm sure Pochettino will have say, but ultimately a lot of these deals are already done before the manager can really have a say.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's a hard one because there's just so many players that Pochettino has at his disposal without really, you know, knowing what the actual strategy is and, you know, what's the consistent team going to be. You got Thiago Silva still at the back who's, you know, getting on. I'm just kind of like, when is this going to have a sea change? Because it just feels like a continuation of last season.
You need a striker. And that Nicholas Jackson, to me, I'm not impressed at all. And I wasn't impressed from the first time we played against him because he just seems like a person who just like runs around. I'm trying to liken him to...
He runs around a lot.
Yeah, I'm likening him to several different players. But like, if you kind of think of a player that just like runs around, doesn't actually do anything, like he never actually does anything. So like, he's like a Nunes that doesn't actually do anything. You know what I mean? Like Nunes actually, sometimes would scores. Like it to be more, but he scores. But at least he's will make a pass or something happen. But he just seems to be just running around. Like, yeah. I don't really see what. Where did he come from?
He came from Portugal.
I just don't see it. Yeah, I just don't see what there is there.
Well,
now,
it's just a strange sign. You know, it's just a strange signing. And I said this when we signed him. It's like, you know, okay, Lukaku was never going to come back. But we need a proven striker. And it was always going to be hard, Dre, because we're not in the Champions League. So a Victor Osimhen, for example, Chelsea could have got if we were in the Champions League. But he's probably going to go Arsenal now. Do you know what I mean? Because these players want to play in the Champions League. So we're always going to get not subpar, but we're always going to get a player that wasn't proven. Mm. And so you get Nicholas Jackson, who is going to need a bit of time.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I'm more convinced with like Brighton's players, you know, more than anything I'm seeing with you know.
They've got a strategy.
Yeah, you can see it. You can see like Evan Ferguson or people like that, who are, you know, or Solly March. Like, you need a Solly March or someone like that who's not a big, like, you know, glamorous name, but someone who's going to put away the goals. You know, someone who's only interested in scoring, not running all around the place. But I feel that you have just players. You don't have any form of cohesiveness. And I think that this is going to continue until Todd Bowles or is it Todd Bowles? Sorry.
Bowley.
Bowles is an NFL thing. Right? You can see that I've been staying away all night long watching NFL. So I'm actually in between each sports in my brain. Yeah, you could tell that your upper office is just buying players, but I think that there's something different going on. I think that they're using Chelsea as like, obviously Chelsea's a business, obviously for these guys. So they're looking at reselling these players at, you know, they're young players and they could just resell them at a high rate. Now the thing is that the fans are different. Fans are not interested in that. They want you to be competitive now. So I feel I did say this already, like there's a reason why certain, like Nagelsmann, who was talking to you guys as well, and other managers were like, nah, sorry, this is not for me.
Right. It's spot on to bring that up actually, because that's where managers feel like they've got no control when you're just signing players without really having an idea what strategy you're signing them for.
Yeah.
And I mean, Pochettino probably does have more say than someone like Potter did.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's just, first of all, I think too many players were allowed to go, first of all.
Yeah.
So I don't think this would be a problem if you kept a Kovacic, if we kept a Kante, if we kept a lot of these players who have experience in the Premier League and could balance out the fact that most of the team is inexperienced and young. And do you know what I mean? Now, Caicedo obviously has experience in the Premier League, of course. But I just think there's too many players like a Nicholas Jackson that, you know, they still kind of got to prove themselves, and they're not proven. If you had if you had a balance of those players, you know, I just think there was too much of an exodus. And this is why we're now having to start from scratch again, you know, and it's just, I don't know. I just hope there's going to be some sort of sea change at some point in the next month. So Chelsea.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, like Chilwell seems like your captain now. But I always feel like if he'd be just like speaking in front of the camera, I feel like Gallagher, you know what I mean? It's like certain players are just like,
yeah,
you're a bit too like happy to be jumping in front of the camera or do interviews and stuff like that every 2 minutes. And so like Sterling is obviously your most effective, but you know, you ain't really hearing from him too much. He just wants to play football and just earn his money. Gallagher's a decent player. I just feel like you haven't got any, like everyone else, I'm looking at all your players here, they're just people. They're just people earning a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't understand it. Caldwell's very good. Yeah. And I'm not pointing at the English players because, you know, that whole rubbish. But it's just like, you just got a whole heap of players who are just players. There's no end result to anyone. So I can't really see this. I can see Poch's, look, Chelsea fans, let me tell you something. Listen to Uncle Dre, because, you know, you didn't listen to me before and you lot got hyped and you lot was DMing us, DMing Liverpool fans, being like, we want to transfer. Okay. Buying players doesn't necessarily equate to trophies or being competitive. Exactly. Same with Arsenal. We want to transfer, you know, window. No one wins nothing. There's no winning the transfer window unless it equates to
success,
trophies, or competitiveness. You want to be in the dance, like Chelsea should be in the dance for the league in March. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win it, but that should be the aim and goal. Now, you lot better just settle down, put your seatbelts on, buckle up, get yourself some Horlicks, because...
Horlicks! I haven't heard that in ages.
Because this is going to be a long season for you. I'm not saying you're going to get relegated or another nonsense, but I would say the highest you're going to finish is 7th or 8th. That's it. So
that's the joke is that's still better than last season. How bad is
Poch
that?
Poch is going to be staying because you can't. How many managers you got?
Poch should stay. No, Poch should stay. Poch should say, him build.
Managers you got like on the retainer you're still paying for, like I've never seen.
Yeah, let Poch stay and build. My problem, my concern is that the fans, there's a spillover from last season. So people go, be patient. Chelsea need to be patient. But you see, they've already been patient for a season or frustrated for a season. You've tested their patience. Now you're asking for another season of patience. I just don't think it's going to happen, particularly when you've got a manager like Pochettino in where people expect him to do something. So,
yeah, but you guys were the big spenders before, and that's the problem, is that because you guys were the big spenders before. You were the City before City. So, you know, at the end of the day is that you got all the players and you had a manager with a philosophy and, you know, they would actually win. You know, you would win because obviously you could outbid people. Now you've got City, who has a philosophy that only buy certain players. They're not just buying anyone. There's no supermarket suite happening there. It there's a strategy about it. So that's why I'm saying that until your owner stops interfering and just buying players, this won't stop. the decline will stay where it is, because you're not a threat to anyone really anymore. And that's the only thing, is that I'm more frightened. I'm worried about when we play Brighton. I'm not worried about when we play you.
Yeah.
And that's
so what about Liverpool
what
then?
Yeah, let's talk about my team.
Unbeaten start. Like the win v Wolves yesterday, come back from 1-0 down. Salah's assist. Wow. That assist for Robertson. Got Salah looks on fire, man.
You know what? We've got ourselves a team. And I feel that
Szoboszlai as well. What a player.
Right. Now I'm just gonna say this. I'm gonna jump out the window and say this, because everyone keeps on talking about Maddison, or they talk about Rice. You know my views on that. Now, I think the best midfielder out in the Premier League now is Dominic Szoboszlai. I can't pronounce his name still to this day. But he is the best midfielder in the Premier League.
I agree.
Right now. Take away, because
top.
And then you got to look at, like, McAllister hasn't really got started because he keeps on being moved all around midfield. When he gets played in his actual proper position, which is the left of centre midfield, so he can, you know, go back and forth. Like, oh, we've got a team. We've got, I would say, the best offence in the league. Best attack in the league, by far. Yeah. Oh, okay, you know, our defence is a bit shaky sometimes, but obviously we've had a bit of turmoil with Virgil getting sent off, being suspended. You know, now Trent has been injured. But we got this new boy. Like, I'm just very, very, like, very, very happy with where we are now, how competitive we are now. I'm very happy. Very happy.
It's impressive. It really is. It really is. I mean, you said it. You said that Liverpool are going to be back. And the thing is, that one thing I like about Liverpool is that they don't really allow... You see, we've talked about Chelsea there, where it's like, okay, last season was bad, and then they've started bad again. So there's almost like a spillover from last season. I don't think Liverpool's one of them teams that allows that to happen twice. Do you know what I mean? Like, they had a bad season last season, and then it's like, we're not going to let that happen again. And then you start strong. Do you know what I mean? And so now, you know, it's early days, so it's quite hard to project, you know, winning the league and all that. But they look like a properly solid team. Like that midfield, given how much we were talking about Liverpool's midfield last year, Szoboszlai is amazing. Like, I agree with you. I just think he's not a sexy signing. He's not the sexy name that, you know, Declan Rice is, or, you know, Casado is. But if you think about impact on team.
Right. You know what? And then the thing is that he's captain of Hungary. So you can see he's got a presence about him.
Leadership,
he's a player, a proper player, plays both sides. Like, the guy is, and I can see him now ordering people what to do. And the fact that he can not only play offensively, but he's defensively, like, you know, obviously we had to change our system. And then you're seeing him sitting back in the sixth role, like pinging passes, being the playmaker. Oh, come on, man.
He's a good replacement for Jordan.
No one talk to me. Let me, this is going to be my clip. I'm going to tell you this now, right? No one talk to me about Declan Rice and tell me that he's even remotely in the same league as Szoboszlai.
I mean, same league. I think that's a bit much.
Physically, same league, but
I think
not in the same stratosphere as this guy here. I'm telling you, he's far better than Declan Rice. And then look at the money.
You saying this with a tinge of bias, Dre?
No. I just
he says this with a Liverpool top on. There's no objectivity to what you're saying. I mean, we can pull up the stats. Listen, I agree with you. I just think that Szoboszlai is not the sexy name, so people aren't really looking at his impact in comparison to Declan Rice. But I agree with you. Like, he is a player, and if you think about, like, there was so much talk about Jordan Henderson, right?
Yeah.
And them Liverpool replacing him. It's like, okay, let's not even compare it to Declan Rice. Let's compare it to Jordan Henderson, because that's the player that left. He is 10 times better than Jordan Henderson. No disrespect for Jordan Henderson, because Henderson did some great things at Liverpool.
Yeah, obviously.
Won the Champions League and the league, etc. And was a leader. But in terms of quality and
it's like a 2.0. Like he's a more technically gifted player, but he still has that same workload.
Work ethic.
And the work ethic. And then the fact that he runs more than anyone else in the team. I'm not just going to point at him because, you know, McAllister's done a very good job in the time that he's actually had there as well. You know, you've got to look at, I'm going to give a special mention to Kwanzaa as well, who came in and that boy's a player. Like, I think he could have been easily like one of the mans of the matches as well. The fact that we can actually just change and bring new people on, we can bring Diaz on, who, my Lord, like, I'll just say this because, you know, before I get excited, too carried away, I'll try to relax a little bit. But the fact that, like, Cody Gakpo, Nunes, you could bring on Jota, Salah is our provider as well now. Like, it's not all on him to score or we lose.
Yeah, that assist. Two assists yesterday against Wolves.
Come on, like, you know, people talking about my team. Listen, let me tell you something now. We'll be there. Yet again, it's up to us to actually compete. Not compete.
I agree.
Where you're 3 weeks before the league's finished, you're out of the league title race, Arsenal. It's really compete. And you're going to see, because you know what? Obviously, we'll get to that. But Tottenham, to me, I take seriously. More than Arsenal.
Well, let's get on to that, right? So let's start with Arsenal first, right? And then, Tottenham are above Arsenal right now. I'm sure Arsenal fans are loving that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Arsenal, because I just want to talk about this issue. So obviously, 1-0 win yesterday against Everton. Raya started in goal, yeah? Now, why is Arteta doing the absolute most with the goalkeepers? I don't understand it. Like, I get competition and I get that, you know, oh, you know, you want to create. But I just don't think that this is the position to do it. You know, I've said it several times. If Arsenal want to win the league and go one better than they did last season, they need a striker who's going to score 25 goals.
Yeah.
Osimhen is the latest name that I think they're looking for. That would be a fantastic signing.
They can look all they want. They ain't getting him.
I'd be very jealous. I think they might get him, you know.
You know how much you have to spend?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. It might have to be another 100 million, right? And we saw how Arsenal were reluctant, you know, to open their purse and do that. But the fact that the point I'm trying to make is that if you want to create competition in your squad, it's not. They should be doing that with a striker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got Gabriel Jesus, they've got Nketiah, good players. Nketiah, I actually don't think he's got enough, people put enough respect on his name.
No, he's decent.
But they still need another level up from those two. Bring in a striker. That's what they should have done. Bring in an Osimhen or someone who is going to get the strikers thinking, if I don't score, I'm not going to play. You don't do it with the goalkeeper. Like, it just seems as if he's trying to, like, he's almost trying to be too clever.
Mini Pep.
And it's like, bro, cool, okay, you're creating competition with the goalkeepers. What is that going to do, really? Like, in terms of, like, because when I think about Arsenal now, I'm thinking, how are you going to win the league? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Not how are you going to, compete again? How are you going to win the league? Rotating the goalkeepers isn't going to be the difference to win the league, in my opinion.
No, but now, I mean, the caveat is they scraped past Everton yesterday. Caveat, they won the game. 3 points and 3 points. Cool, I understand that. But your performances catch up with you at some point. At some point, catches you up.
It's an improvement from last season, because last season they drew against Everton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Everton even worse now than they were before.
Yeah, that's true. A win's a win. Do you know what I mean? And if you want to win the league, sometimes you've got to scrap it out. I just don't understand what Arteta's trying to do with this goalkeeper thing. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, cool, create a competition. Like, that for me, like, because there's some goalkeeper, there's a few pundits that are saying, oh, you don't want to upset Ramsey. It's not about upsetting Ramsey. He, you know, maybe internally he's getting a bit comfortable. He's getting a bit complacent. We don't know, you know.
But it hasn't shown in performances.
It hasn't shown his performances, one. But two, like I said, it just doesn't, for me, it's not a change that is actually going to be the difference in winning the league or not. For me, the difference in winning Arsenal winning the league is having somebody who's going to bang in hat tricks.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be the difference between winning a game this season against West Ham rather than drawing 2-2 last year.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? That for me is the difference. So I just don't understand what Arteta's trying to do. And his quotes are a bit, you know, he said he had some regrets where he felt like he should change the goalkeepers. And I'm like, why are you looking at that? Like,
but this is where it's all going to start going wrong.
This was his quote. I felt after 60, I have few regrets, but one of them is that on two occasions, I felt after 60 minutes and 85 minutes of two games in this period to change the goalkeeper. So basically he's saying, in whatever game he's talking about, at 60 minutes and 85 minutes, Ramsey wasn't doing his thing. Now, unless Ramsey has thrown the ball in his net, I don't understand. I'm confused. What did Ramsey do at 60 and 80 minutes?
He might start doing that after you piss him off.
I don't like, do you know what I'm saying, Dre? Like, I'm like, why are you focusing on that? Of all things, of all concerns that you should really be having.
Yeah, but you know what is right now? He is mini Pep. Like, he obviously comes from that school. So therefore, the other Pep just makes changes just for change's sake. Arteta. Pep can do that because whoever's on the bench, it costs him more than majority of teams. So therefore, you can mess around with all these players because, you know, to be honest with you, he's built a team that's interchangeable. I mean, no matter who, like, the only person is Kevin De Bruyne is making a massive difference. But by that, maybe Haaland now. By that, it's like, whoever's, it's a much for much, whoever you want to take off and put them on. But I come from the thinking of this because it actually brings me back to years ago when Liverpool had two keepers. We had Jerzy Dudek and we had another one. Oh, I forgot his bloody name anyway. And we bought two goalkeepers and it was just like confusion. And it's the same thing there's a saying in NFL to have. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So
interesting.
Because
I like
at the
that.
End of the day is that if you don't like Alisson is the number one keeper. Ederson is the number one keeper. You know, I'm going down a little, you know. Each person had there's a rhythm that comes with that person. There's a
Onana now for Man U, number one keeper.
Why'd you do that?
Why are you laughing? It just came to me. You said you'd go down the leagues.
Not that far down.
Oh my God.
That's on the table. Even Fuller's goalkeeper's like, oh, wait a minute. I was like, you're just going to pass me.
Oh gosh!
I think Pope is like, hey, I think I'm better than Arnold. Oh god! Oh, we're back.
But you know what I mean, Dre? You're right. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it makes no. And it's what he's doing.
Create.
Yeah, but maybe it's just a mess. Maybe he's just messing around because it's disrespectful to Everton because he's like he can mess around against Everton because really Arsenal should be able to beat them. But again, I am concentrating just like you are. You shouldn't be messing around with the goalkeepers, are?
That's what I'm
you
saying.
You should be messing around with the up front.
Forwards.
Because you lot are toothless FC. And I'll tell you something now. I'll put it out in the air. Tottenham are way more of a threat going forward than you lot are.
Well, let's talk about that. Because Spurs are second and unbeaten. They've a new era. Harry Kane has gone. And honestly, I mean, Harry Kane's one of the greatest strikers of all time, right? But they're looking good without Kane.
Did you see that they took off Son?
Yeah.
There's no gone are the days of, and I think this would even happen if Kane was there. If you are not playing well, he'll take you off. Here's another player we're going to bring on. Like, I forgot who that guy is that they got from Forest. Proper player. I like him.
Yeah, I know.
I'll have a look now. But like it, you know, they've got a team. They have a team. They have a team ethic.
They really do. Kulusevski is such a baller. I mean, his winner yesterday was, you know, James Maddison's had a great start, 2 goals, 2 assists in 5 games. Like, to be honest, I'm surprised at how well Maddison's done. Like, I personally think people overhype Maddison, but
yeah.
Certainly at Leicester, I felt like he was overhyped.
And Brennan Johnson,
Brennan Johnson, and then the guy talked, and then James Maddison, I think, talks an incredible game as well. Like, he's really good at talking and all that. And sometimes I'm like, okay, bro, like, cool. Do you want to do it on the pitch? But
no, he's doing it. I must say. Oh, you're talking about from before.
And it's impressive. You know, look, at the end of the day, Spurs haven't really played anyone yet, apart from United. They've got a big test coming up in the next 2 weeks. They've got the North London derby against Arsenal this Sunday, which I'm trying to go to. And then the following Sunday, they've got your mob, Liverpool. That, if they win those games, that's when we're talking.
Relax with one of them. Because like,
Postecoglou, like, I love him. I think he's actually become one of my favourite managers. And remember, Dre, we did an episode before where I said, listen, with Tottenham, yeah, you do not want a manager who has got an ego, who's going to be talking down, thinking that he's doing Tottenham a favour. Like, that was the vibe. That was the vibe with Mourinho. That was the vibe with Conte. With Postecoglou, it's like he appreciates being a Tottenham manager. Do you know what I mean? It's like you can tell that this is not a step up for him, but it's like the right... It's the right move for his career.
Yeah.
He's a chilled guy.
Perfect fit.
Like, no ego. Do you know what I mean? Because this egotistical manager, and I get it. You know, Danny Levy's trying to bring in winners, proven winners, which Conte and Mourinho were. But in terms of the chemistry and the compatibility of, like, you know, Levy and Postecoglou looks like a guy that, I mean, everyone likes it. They're already singing songs about him, which I think is a bit early, to be honest.
I probably would liken it to this. You know, when Chelsea first of all, you know, got the Champions League and they got the money from your old owner, Abramovich. You needed someone to fit that jigsaw, like who is about like an extension of the fans, and who is who represents the club. So if you think about like Chelsea, automatically I think of Mourinho, because that was his club. I remember there's always a clip of like John Terry, and then it goes straight to Mourinho in the background, and it's a clip that they always use on TV. Like this guy, same thing with Klopp. Klopp comes in, this is my club. You know, I am representative of the fans. I have that connection with the fans.
Yeah.
So when the manager has that connection with the fans, there's no room. There's no escape for them. You know, sometimes if the fans are like, what's this idiot doing? You can hide behind that and be like, well, you know, now there's no room. If you're not playing well, he'll take you off and then they applaud. You know, they're not going to question his decisions because it's working. And I like this manager. And then there's not many managers in this league that you actually just like. He's the opposite of Man United's manager.
He's very articulate. Yeah, like, likeable. I mean, even the way he spoke about Richarlison, like, and the mental health stuff that he came out with this week, like, just very, like, wise owl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like the fact he said, listen, yes, these players have everything. Yes, these players, you know, are very, very privileged, but that does not stop life happening to you.
Yeah.
I thought it was such a great way of saying it, like, because it's true. Like, anything, you, no matter how much money you have in the world, someone could pass away. You could have a car accident. Like, something, life happens, you know? And I thought, yeah, do you know what? He's right. Money and privilege doesn't stop that from happening. But then you have Ten Hag, on the other hand, who's hanging out Jadon Sancho to dry.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
Which,
I think he's
doing
distasteful.
What do you think of that? What do you think of that situation?
I just think it's distasteful. I just think that you're supposed to keep things behind closed doors. And granted, like, there's going to be a player who's going to voice, you know, his opinion that he wants to play or he should play. But I feel like the statement that he made at the time kind of come across wrong on, when he said that, he didn't train properly, gives people impression that James Sancho's not really doing it. You know, as a player, you would know that.
That's probably the worst thing you can say to a player is you're not training hard enough. Because then that makes you look a certain way to your teammates as well.
Yeah.
Now,
lazy.
Lazy. And you heard Dele Alli talk about this. Like, that was something that hurt him a lot when Mourinho said it to him. Like, being called lazy is probably one of the worst things you can say to a football player.
Yeah.
Particularly when they are genuinely trying or they feel like they're genuinely trying. Now, I don't understand why that conversation, as you said, can't just be had behind closed doors. Now, unless Sancho was genuinely, like, sucking it off in training and being really,
You could have put him on a transfer.
Down
you could have just loaned him out somewhere.
But I just think that if you look at Jadon Sancho's reaction, like, to come out and say, nah, like, I'm not having that, makes me think that he actually hasn't been lazy. Because for Jadon Sancho to tweet that, he knows, okay, I'm speaking up now against the Manchester United manager. That was a big, big thing for him to do.
Yeah. It's time.
Now, I don't think you do that as a football player unless you genuinely think what the manager said was wrong. Now, I don't. I genuinely don't think Jadon Sancho is going to play for Man United again. Like,
no.
Ten Hag is one of them Alex Ferguson type managers where I just think he's got an ego where it's like, you don't cross me. Look what I did with Ronaldo.
Yeah, I was nonsense.
Rashford, like, just for being late. So I think Sancho's done, and I think Sancho probably would have calculated that when he sent that tweet. He would have calculated the fact that, okay, me doing this now, I probably know this is it. Yeah. And listen, I don't mind that, because at the end of the day, as a player, you can only be honest with yourself, with your teammates, with the fans. Now, he said something about how he feels Antony is being preferred over him. Which, again, if I put myself in Jadon Sancho's shoes, Antony has not done much.
Nothing.
Ten Hag played for Antony. Antony played for Ten Hag before. So maybe there is an incentive from Ten Hag for Antony to do well and not Jadon Sancho, if that makes sense. Because that comes into it as well. Managers want what they consider their sign-ins to do well. Ten Hag didn't sign Jadon Sancho. So there's that as well. That's football, but people don't really talk about that in terms of how it actually affects managers' decisions. So let's say now you've got 5 games. Both players have played badly 5 games. But Antony will always be the one that's given another chance. Right.
Because he knows what he can do, and he's done it at Ajax. But league and Premier League is two different things.
Yeah, but knowing what a player can do, in your previous club, should not really excuse bad performances at a new club. Because at the end of the day, there's other players that are thinking, well, when am I going to get a shot? So Ten Hag shouldn't really let is it favouritism? I don't know whether that's the word, but he shouldn't let his incentive for Antony to do well affect his the way he manages Jadon Sancho, which I think probably has happened. Like, I think I've seen it many times behind the scenes. Now, Ten Hag's never going to admit that. But when you look at Anthony, I think Jadon Sancho has a point. I think Jadon Sancho has a massive point to say, like, hold on a second. Why am I being called out when this guy hasn't really done much?
The only thing is that from another point of view, I think it's unprofessional for Sancho to like kind of speak about other people while you're there. I feel that you put your transfer request in, say, I don't get along with this manager. He doesn't value me. He puts other players ahead of me. I think I'm better. I'm too good to be sitting on this bench, and I think I can contribute. Now, you got to push for a loan away and then figure out the stuff after. This should have happened before transfer deadline. You knew you're not in favour. So what should have happened is that he should have made this noise, because he could have been playing for Villa or West Ham or someone like that, or Fulham, someone else that he could actually be getting game time, because he's too good a player. I mean, we wanted him at one point. It looked like he was going to come to us.
Where do you think he's going to go?
I think West Ham probably... No, actually, no. Because was he playing the right side? Or
he's right or left, isn't he?
I mean...
I think he's going to want to stay in the Premier League. I reckon he might go, Fulham.
He could go to Fulham or Brighton. I'll tell you what, if Brighton get him,
I don't think Brighton are going to get taken.
Who got Brighton on the right-hand side? Oh, yes, they just got Fatty, haven't they? So, it's going to be like someone like Newcastle or someone like that, but...
I think it might be a Fulham.
Please don't go Everton, Sancho.
Yeah, don't go Everton.
Or Villa.
I mean, Everton
no,
still...
actually, Villa.
I think he might try and go... Yeah, I think he might try and go Fulham.
Yeah,
or
Palace,
West
maybe?
Ham. Palace, yeah. It'll be one of them, mid-table clubs where he can maybe rebuild. It'll be a big fish in that pond. If I was his agent, that's what I would try and do. I'd try and get him to one of them clubs. Because it's done. At Man United, it's done.
It's done. I think if he went to Palace, I think it would be good if Palace or Fulham tried to get a hold of him. I just think it's just not going to work there at all. And it's not on him. Like, he hasn't produced the way that he should. I thought he cost 80 million or something. Something like that, around that. Around
it was
that
hype. Remember, it was mad hype. And they were trying to sign him
done
for
anything.
Years.
He was one of the ones that apparently, allegedly, we was looking at, Klopp was looking at. And so we was quite shocked when he went over there. So, and I know obviously he ain't going to come. Liverpool were never going to buy no players off Man United. But I just think that, to me, he's wasted if he's not playing there. Like, maybe Newcastle might make a punt to get him on loan. But the thing is that now, like, Man United used to be able to look down their nose at these people. Now all of these teams are your competitors for your European spot. You're not going to be competitive in the league, not with Ten Hag. I'm not saying he's rubbish. I just don't think you've had enough time now for us to be able to see the identity of the club. Now, last year you won a trophy and that kind of papered over the cracks. I think you've become a little bit more dogged, but at the end of the day is that, like, you've still got a whipping 7 or 8-0 by us. Arsenal beat you several times. I don't really think that you're taken seriously as a by this point, with the amount of money that has been spent, because they have been spending money. Not like they ain't been signing people. They've been spending a lot
really
of players.
Good signings.
Yeah, but then it's, the problem is the manager then.
What do you think of Harry Maguire's situation?
Why?
Honestly, I just don't understand.
Poor guy.
Like, the guy, I just think, like, I just don't understand why he, A, didn't, just, why he needed to go to West Ham. Because a lot of the stuff that's happening to Harry Maguire is a continuation of frustration. And I don't agree with the social media abuse, as you know.
No.
It's horrible. I've been in that situation before. It's not nice. And obviously his mom's come out now and said, leave my son alone and all of this. And that's never nice when family has to, family start showing how it's impacting them. But the reality is that he's made poor decisions. Like,
yep.
He needed to go to a new club to start again, start fresh, turn a new leaf, so that actually people would not be in the position to start still coming for him in the way they've been coming for him the last 2-3 years. If he went to West Ham and was playing and starting and performing, you wouldn't have the whole England conversation either, where you'd be is he getting... Like, it was just a really, really bad decision to stay at Man United.
Yep.
Like, for me, Ten Hag is actually it's almost like he's begging the guy to leave. Like, his press conferences, I was like, this is embarrassing. He doesn't want to be with you. Like, it's like when someone's trying to break up and it's like they're making it really obvious. Bruv, go, leave, start fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's and the best analogy.
The England stuff as well, I just think, like, I actually, listen, I love Gareth Southgate. I think Gareth Southgate's great, but I just don't understand why he's making the situation 10 times worse.
Yeah.
By picking Maguire. Then when you pick Maguire, you've got to stand by your decision to pick him. Then when he doesn't perform, which happens to all players, by the way, not just Harry Maguire, you've now got to go all the way to the other side and defend him and start getting angry. It's like, if you didn't pick him in the first place, we wouldn't be in this situation. You can't not pick Sterling and then pick Harry Maguire. Like, these are the things, like, as a player, it just winds you up because it's like...
They're not going to win anything. I think that everyone has their little window of opportunity. If we're talking about merging this into England, at the end of the day is that if you can't be an international manager and not pick players that are
not
playing
cool
for their team, playing on the bench, you can't have favourites. At the end of the day, it's supposed to be a competitive thing.
Exactly.
Where people are playing for their position and you know that there's three other people who would love to be able to take your place.
I would actually go as far to say, and again, I do love Gareth Southgate, and more times than not, 9 times out of 10, I'm saying really great things about him.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's quite disrespectful to other players.
Yeah.
Who are busting their ass week in, week out, you know, performing. Look how long Fikayo Tomori has had to wait to get in the squad. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand how you can, with your chest, pick players who, and it's not even a thing of like players not performing for their clubs. You don't play.
If you don't even play, that's the thing.
Doesn't play. Harry Maguire doesn't play and doesn't look close to playing. So how, like, and obviously I've played for England. I'd feel disrespected.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd feel a bit like, okay, so I'm obviously not in that list of people that by hook or by crook you're gonna pick.
Yep.
So I have to do more than they do. Like, it's just whichever way you want to slice it, because the argument is, well, it's what they've done in an England shirt. Okay, well, if that's the argument. No, but let's even say that's the argument. Well, Sterling should forever be picked then, because Sterling arguably has done more in an England shirt than he's probably... Nah, actually, I wouldn't say that. But Sterling has been a very consistent performer for England.
Yep.
Very consistent. And
that's my point. It's just like it is favourites. So, you know, he shouldn't even said that. Like, he should have said, okay, that person fits my system best. But, like, you know, you can't be like, oh, well, you know, based on past performances, because Sterling's been England's best player, especially when it came to the last Euros. It's just rubbish. So that, but again, it's look, let's just be real. Like, everyone has their little window of being good, their time in the sun. And I think Maguire, during the World Cup, when England had a very easy draw to get to the semis, and then same again with the Euros, and then obviously they come up against a decent team and then they get beaten because the players who are playing aren't good enough for international. They're not top level. Now, you may have had a lucky streak when it comes to the World Cup, let's say in particular Harry Maguire, because you're playing against other, you know, mid-table, lower league players who are just like you, like you're a Premier League player. You're getting paid, I don't know how much, like hundreds of thousands. You know, you're probably a millionaire. Like, you should have, if you really care about actual competing to play the game, then you should have gone to West Ham, probably for less money.
100%.
I mean, it comes on you. I don't think... Because you chose not to go. You should have been pushing to go because you would have been playing and then people left you alone.
But then you look at it though, Dre, and you go, why would Harry Maguire push to leave when ultimately he's getting in the England squad anyway? Like, as a player, incentives and you know, are really big. If I know that if I don't move, I'm not going to get in the England squad, best believe I'm moving. But if I'm getting picked anyway, then the desire to move changes. So this whole England situation is not helping Harry Maguire because his career at Manchester United is done. He's not a priority.
Yeah. No.
And that's okay. That doesn't mean he's, you know, that doesn't mean he can't go on and have a comeback. You know, James Maddison got relegated last season. Look at what he's doing now. But he's had a fresh start. He's moved clubs. You know, I just think, like, they should be looking at maybe January. Like, his agents maybe should be looking at January because...
Like, you need to really go now. The problem is, I remember when Paul Kucheski came from Fulham to play for us and he was getting it from the fans left, right and centre because you're not... That you level. May be good... But you're not good enough to play at the elite. And what it is that you can have a game now and again, if you're playing for Fulham, where you're worldy and everything works in your favour. Maybe a few games, you have a nice little run. But the difference is that when you go up to, you know, top five teams who are playing in Champions League, the TV is always on you all the time. Your games are on TV all the time. There's a spotlight on you all the time because you're one of the biggest clubs in the world, which Man United is. You can't have you can't have off games. You have to, or not even off games. You have to perform at your highest level all the time. You're like, let's say Virgil van Dijk's base level is still better than majority of defenders around there. Yeah. Whereas like here, you know, Harry Maguire's base level equates to 7-0, 8-0. I'm not adding to it.
Dre, I feel sorry for him.
You know what I mean? No, you can't. Just... They're asking you to play out from the back. You're not that type of. You are a person who breaks up attacks and then kicks it into the stands. That's you.
Out. I think his playing out is not a problem. I think the problem with Harry Maguire is that he's always in an emergency situation as a defender. It's always last ditch, emergency, stretching, you know, and that is not clever defending. Rio Ferdinand says it, he always says it, if you're on your ass more times than not as a defender, you're not using your brain. Because Rio was always in control of the situation because his positioning. John Terry was one of the slowest defenders in the Premier League, but you read it.
Yeah.
Maguire's always in a stretching, he's always, you know, so... With all that being said, I'm a firm believer in rebuilding careers, second chances. But you've got to take the chance when you've got it. You've got to go.
Yeah, well, but any honestly, I don't I blame. Myself, sorry, no, go on.
I put myself now in the Man United dressing room. He's not captain anymore.
No.
Right. He's clearly, like, the manager's come out and said, I think, basically, I want him to go. I think he should go, which is embarrassing in and of itself.
Yeah.
I put myself in that Man United dressing room and I think to myself, players must be thinking, bro, like...
Why are you here?
Like,
yeah, but do some players...
Not in a nasty way, but in a way where they think everyone knows that's the best thing for him to do.
Yeah, but I would ask you, is that you've probably come into this as well. Do some players just like the kudos of playing for a Man United, a Chelsea, whatever?
If that's the case, I don't respect that because what kind of, you know, what
yeah, but
kind
you're
of
on
player
more
is
money
that?
You're like,
that you have no ambition if you just want to sit there on the bench because it's Man United. That is, you know, that is not, I mean, the thing is, if he was always a squad player,
like he came on.
You know, everybody, you said earlier, you know, not about knowing your place. Everybody at some point in their career knows their place, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm a starter, you know, I'm a super sub, I'm a squad player, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of players that have made great careers out of being squad players, like Solskjaer, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is for Harry Maguire, he didn't start off being a squad player. He was the captain. He was bought for a lot of money. He's had a decline in his career, and now it's about having an ambition to rebuild it. So you can't just like be okay with being a squad player after you've come in at this level. That shows a distinct lack of ambition.
But you know who I blame for this? England fans. Because what happens is that we overhype average players. And I say this every single time. There are players that play for England that are okay or good Premier League players. Good. And I mean good. Like decent enough level, better than Championship, but you're just a good player. You know, let's say, I don't know.
But has Harry Maguire ever been hyped that much? I don't think he has.
He got, when he played for England in the World Cup, they thought that he was like bloody, you know, Maldini or something like that. And it's just like, can we stop hyping England players up to be more than that? Because the problem is the expectation goes further than their talent is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the problem is that then you're shocked. Oh, this is our best chance of winning the World Cup. No, it's not. Your best chance is to get out of the group because you're seeded and you get out of the group easy. You get knocked out as soon as you get to playing a decent level team. That's what happens all the time. But so I think that what should happen is that people should just be a bit more, you know, relaxed when it comes to England players. Like if, you know, I'm hearing Colwell. Oh, he's the next big thing. Like, relax. Like, let's improve it.
Do you get very excited. It's true.
You get too excited, and then you boost these players, and then let Harry Maguire be the example of why you should cool your heels. Granted, you know what? A lot of England fans aren't Premier League fans. They support Plymouth Argyle or wherever they support, and they're not used to see Harry Maguire to them is a god because he's better than anything else they've got.
Yeah, and I'm
not knocking anyone who supports those little clubs. Cool. Like, you're actually more of a fan than us. But the end of the day is that it's when you start hyping these players up to a point where Harry Maguire is nowhere remotely worth £80 million. He is worth 20 at tops.
Oh,
at
wow.
Tops.
That's 20?
No, I'm not like, even at his best. And I'm not disrespecting him because he's a destroyer. He's a person that he's like, I can't think of another player, you know, but he's a destroyer. He's not a person that's going to create. There's a world of difference between him and someone like Rio, Rio can do both, destroy and create.
And play, yeah.
I'm not even talking about Liverpool players.
It's just a message, I think. It's a lesson for any player. Like, look at us, as we're saying about Sancho. Take the hint.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When it's time to go, it's time to go.
But he should have been pushing to go a little while ago.
Yeah, and be excited about going because you can rebuild your career somewhere else. And then you can almost give a two fingers up to your last club and say, look at what I can do. But you've got to go to do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I look at it and I feel sorry. I think it's a combination of bad decision-making on Maguire's part. Yeah, bad decision making for what he should know what's good for him.
Yeah.
And staying at Man United is not good.
No, you should definitely go. So I really would like to see Harry Maguire move because I think that for a West Ham or for a, you know, I don't know, I can't think like a Palace.
I think West Ham would have been great for him.
Yeah, just a person who is a destroyer, a person who's a good defender, who can actually help a mid-table team. But you are not, in any form of way, good enough to play for Man United or England. Like, you're definitely not good enough to be Man United captain. There's nothing I've seen of him ever, even when he's at Leicester at his peak, that could say you are worth £80 million. And that's not a knock to you, because not everyone is.
Yeah. Ones to watch. I've put in a section ones to watch. So Jeremy Doku for Man City scored yesterday. Player.
He's going to be worried.
It's quite different. It's quite different to what Man City, what Pep usually buys. You know, he's small, nippy, you know, good player. I'm excited to watch him.
I think he's exactly a Pep player. I forgot who went to play for, escapes my brain at the moment. Went to play for Bayern Munich. Used to be
Sané, Leroy Sané.
Same type of player. You know,
yeah.
Hangs on the wing. You know, dangerous coming forward, can create opportunities. Why someone else ain't gone for him, I have no idea. You know, I don't know where they got him from, but he's very, very good player. Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to... Yeah, go on.
You know, the other one to watch, I'm actually annoyed that Chelsea didn't get him. Mohamed Kudus at West Ham, Ghanaian player. He is, this kid is a baller. Like,
very
I cannot believe, out of all the young players, yeah, Chelsea have bought, you don't sign Kudus.
Yep. Well, like, I'm glad he didn't go there.
Come on, man. Like, when Chelsea were linked with him, I was like, please, God, like, sign. Yeah. I remember watching Kudus at, in the World Cup against Portugal. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, every time he got the ball, he looked like he was going to score or he was going to assist. I cannot believe Chelsea didn't sign him. So I'm going to be watching him at West Ham. Really like him. Have you got any other
players? I'm going to keep an eye on Ryan Gravenberch, because he only came on
for
a short space of time. You know, I'm really like, we've been wanting him for a long period of time. So I'm quite interested to see. I mean, he could have scored when he came on, with his first couple of touches as well. So, like, yeah, I think when he settles in, he'll be really good. I am really loving Brighton Wing. Sorry, I'm out of the loop with some of these players, but there's a player for Brighton. I'm going to pull up his name. Mits Monora.
Oh, the Japanese player.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, baller.
I think he's a serious player. And then also, I'm liking Fatty. From what I saw.
Okay.
This player, Brighton, you know
that's
what?
That's a great signing for Brighton. Great signing.
You got a team. I'm rooting for you lot, because the way you
unbelievable
play football,
signing.
And I've had
them.
This debate with my friends, like, once Klopp decides to move on, I'm sorry, I like Brighton's coach, De Zerbi. Yeah. I like
very,
him.
Very good.
I like the fact that he is a nurturer of talent. He has a system that everyone sticks to. He gets players who want to fight. He's brought out, he's like kind of refurbished Lallana to make him look like he is like old school Lallana. You know, the fact that he knows to get leaders in there, and Milner, you know, and what he's done with like Solly March, Ferguson, like,
it's unbelievable.
Is it Pedro who came on? And he just like glided that goal in just like it was nothing. Like, the finish was delicious. I must say, Brighton.
He's a proper coach.
Brighton deserved to be in Europe, like playing against the best.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch them. I might go to a few games, actually.
Please take me too, because they are a very good team. I'm really looking forward to seeing them in person. They're one of the teams that, as I said, like, you kind of look out for, and you're like, oh God, I hope we can get something from that. You know, because, you know, as much as confident I'm about Liverpool, but like Tottenham, Brighton have my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brighton plays Arsenal now. I think Brighton win, because Brighton are not toothless.
I
think Tottenham, I expect them, if I can give a prediction, I would say I'm going to put my money on Tottenham winning. Because Tottenham
next
are
week.
Strong.
Or Sunday. Yeah,
Sunday. I think Tottenham are strong. Where is it at? At Tottenham.
At the Emirates.
Whoa.
I know, spicy. I've asked for ticket. I've asked to go. So hopefully I can go because I'll be back from Rome there by then.
Arsenal fans, don't pretend that you're not scared because you should be.
Listen, they should be shook. This is the first time in at least 2 years.
Yep.
You feel like it's actually an even battle.
Yeah.
In terms of momentum, confidence, like I can see Spurs winning that.
We're both going for Spurs.
Yeah, I agree with you. That actually might be my reckless talk. My reckless talk is that Spurs are going to cause an upset at the Emirates this weekend.
All right, we're gonna have to stand on this. We're gonna
What's
have to clip this up.
Talk?
This is going to be on there. I would say my reckless talk is that not only do we finish above Arsenal, I know Arsenal fans are going to come at me, and I love it. But Tottenham are going to finish above you this season.
That's reckless.
Tottenham are all round better team than Arsenal.
Wow. That is reckless. At this point in the season, Dre.
From what I've
when
seen.
When you said Liverpool finish above, I thought that ain't that reckless. That ain't that reckless.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate the fact that you know.
But Tottenham as well. Woo. That's going to have some very upset Arsenal fans. I don't mind seeing that sometimes. I find it quite funny. But that is pretty reckless. It's an interesting one. It's an interesting point because, as I said earlier, like, I just don't think Arsenal have done anything to actually show that they're, like, anything in the transfer window to say, okay, Declan Rice obviously was an elevation, but in terms of like an elevation that's going to help them win the league, I felt it was always going to have to be a striker that was going to bang in 25 goals,
exactly
as per Haaland. Yeah, they have not done that.
I'll say this, right? You and I will clip this up, right? So we're both saying that Arsenal, that we're going to favour Tottenham to win this game.
Yes.
I'm saying that overall, Tottenham are going to finish higher.
I haven't gone that far. That's what you said.
I'm swimming alone when it comes to this one. Now, what is that until Arsenal buy a striker that is going to score over 15 goals in the season, don't
agree.
Say
no, totally
you're competing
agree.
For the league, because competing means all the way to the last day.
I agree.
At least the last week. But at the end of the day, is that you lot never do, and that's the reason why.
If I'm Edu, I'm flying to Naples. Like, if I'm Edu, I'm trying to get the Osimhen deal done as soon as possible. Whether that's end of the season, whether that's January. I mean, I can't see Napoli letting him go in January. But one of the things that Chelsea did very well was they do pre-contract deals. So I think they did it for Nkunku, where basically you have an agreement before an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So you will lock in a player and exclusively you're only allowed to sign. Arsenal, if you're getting any advice from a sporting director to sporting director, Edu's obviously probably more, well, definitely more experienced than me. But lock it in, man. Because these players do not come around often and you've got to grab them whilst you're in the Champions League. Like, you've got to grab these strikers.
Well,
because
I remain
very rare.
Colour me sceptical about them getting that. He's more like, Osman's more likely to come to you, especially,
no,
I think.
He won't come to Chelsea because we're not in the Champions League.
Yeah, but you could be in the Champions League very quickly. Like, things could change real quick. And you could actually be in contention for Champions League, not winning the league, but for that fourth place very quickly if you get Osimhen. Because here, all that running around that Nicholas Jackson does, someone who will shoot and score.
Why would Osimhen go from winning the league with Napoli, get into the, I think it was the semi-final or quarter-final of the Champions League last year with Napoli, to a team that's 14th?
London.
That doesn't have an issue.
Two answers. London, money.
No, but Arsenal can match his money, probably.
No, not salary your salary, yeah. London and salary. Like that's you're going to go to
London.
I know, but they're not paying what you're going to pay, and that's why Casido was like, you know, taking pictures and putting old memory pictures up and stuff like that because he just wanted that dough.
Yeah, Dre, it's been fun. We got to reckless talk.
I'm looking forward to seeing the reaction from the clips. But
yeah,
we say this with love, Arsenal fans.
We're just being objective.
We're football fans just like you.
We're playing centre back. That's what we do on Monday morning centre back. We got to see the whole pitch. We got to see different perspectives. And we got to, you know, as always, come with the reckless talk. So listen, we'll always be the first ones to also say, okay, we got. Chelsea. I was definitely thinking it was going to be different for Chelsea. So.
I won't start.
So I admit that I was a bit gassed, and it's not.
You're a fan.
Happening.
There's not a problem.
It's not happening. So we're gonna obviously try and come back in the next 2 weeks and see how our clubs are doing in the next 2 weeks. So for now, thank you for listening to Monday Morning Centre Back.
Peace. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We will come back as soon as we can. Peace.
Amen. Unless Dre is like gallivanting around the globe.
Oh, wow. See you later.